that was bombed twice. We would build infrastructure inside of Gaza to treat the children inside of Gaza. However, due to these restrictions and due to the crumbling healthcare infrastructure, due to the constant dangers of our buildings being destroyed, we have to evacuate children out. And again, it's only 250 children, and you're talking about the largest organization. That should just show how many months of hard work it takes just to evacuate one child like Rahaf. I mean, at the end of the day, this is the largest population of child amputees in modern history. I mean, just saying that statement alone is insane, let alone trying to imagine just all the conflicts and the wars that have happened during our lifetime and before. And this is right now the largest population of childhood amputees. And we can't even bring in prosthetics to Gaza because they won't even allow that.
I want to go back to the issue of hunger. Ms. Rachel posted on Instagram, she addresses the crisis of child starvation in Gaza, mom to mom. Ms. Rachel, you say, as you respond to a video of a mother in Gaza, she is holding her emaciated daughter and you're holding your daughter, Susie. Let's go to the clip.
I wanted to talk mom to mom. I saw the video of you and your beautiful daughter, Aya.
Look at her. You can see her bones. Look at her legs.
This is what a baby about that age should look like.
There's no baby formula available anywhere in the country. What am I supposed to do? Is it just because she's from Gaza? Do our children have to go through this just because they're from here?
And yes, it's because she's from Gaza. It's because she's born in Gaza that she's being starved. She's being punished because of where she was born. I'm so sorry that my baby has formula and yours doesn't. I'm going to do everything I can to try to help.
Our children are like any other children, like the children of the world. Look at my daughter. Her life is at risk.
Your beautiful daughter, Aya, is just like any other baby in the world. I want you to know that I see you in Aya, and I am so sorry. And the whole world needs to just stand up and say, this is wrong. I see you. I love you.
So that's the Instagram post that you, Ms. Rachel, put up. Can you talk about the response to it?
I think it's shocking for people to see what a baby that age should look like. I mean, we all love the little chunky rolls on baby's thighs. And I think I have a huge audience of parents. That's what my platform is. And I think the majority of people around the world, they want babies to be fed, and they were heartbroken seeing Aya, and they wanted to send formula themselves. Mom said, is there any way I could send my own breast milk to Aya and ask me for information? And I just, that they wanted to send their own breast milk there. It's just beautiful.
I wanted to go to another little girl who is known around the world posthumously, and that's Hindrajab. Now, Hindrajab came up today in the news because the Hindrajab Foundation, along with another group, has filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court against six senior Israeli commanders over the killing of the Al Jazeera reporter Anas al-Sharif and four of his colleagues at Al Jazeera, as well as a freelance journalist who was killed along with them in that well-marked press tent against Al-Shifa Hospital. The foundation is named for Hindrajab, that five-year-old Palestinian little girl who was killed in 2024 along with five of her family members and two rescue workers who were attempting to reach them during an attack on Gaza City. On January 29th last year, Hindrajab climbed into a car with her aunt, her uncle, and cousins in Gaza City as they prepared to flee to the southern part of Gaza. But as they were in the car, an Israeli tank approached them and opened fire. Hind's 15-year-old cousin, Leon, called the Red Crescent for help.
Hello?
Hello, dear?
They are shooting at us.
Hello?
They are shooting at us. The tank is next to me.
Are you hiding?
Yes, in the car. We're next to the tank.
Are you inside the car? Hello.
So that was 15-year-old Leon, who was killed along with the rest of her family. The only one who remained alive in the car was little Hind. Wounded, she called the Red Crescent back, pleading with the dispatcher to be rescued.
Come take me. You will come and take me?
Do you want me to come and take you?
I'm so scared. Please come. Please call someone to come and take me.
Okay, dear. I will come and take you.
After seeking approval from the Israeli military, two emergency workers with the Palestine Red Crescent, Yusuf Seino and Ahmed Almadoun, went to try and rescue Hind. But dispatchers lost contact with the medics. Nearly 2 weeks later, Israeli forces finally withdrew from the area, and Hind's surviving family ventured back to the neighborhood. They found the little girl dead inside the car, alongside the bodies of five of her family members, the car riddled with bullet holes. The bodies of the two emergency workers were also found in an ambulance nearby and appear to have been killed by Israeli fire just yards from the car. After this, the Hind Rajab Foundation was formed. Her name became known around the world. You had a takeover protest at Columbia, and they renamed the building Hind Hall. Talk about hearing that story, Ms. Rachel. Talk about what it meant to you of this little conflicting reports of whether she was 5 or 6 years old.
When I heard the phone call of her begging for help, I mean, there's nothing to describe how I felt. And I posted about Hind, and then I actually heard from her mom. And Hind, she calls her her angel baby. Hind loved to play doctor and take care of everyone. And Hind loves school, and she has a brother. And they're a family just like anyone's family. And I'm just so devastated at that profound loss and how it happened. And I'm so glad that you're telling her story. But it was just hearing her on the phone. There's nothing like that.
And Ms. Rachel, you've been compared by many to Mr. Rogers in terms of your influence on children around the world. You grew up watching his show. Talk about what he means to you and his political advocacy and his courage.
Yeah, I grew up loving Mr. Rogers, and I used to go up to the TV and try and block the trolley from leaving because I didn't want the show to end. He just meant so much to me as a kid. And then I continued to read his books and watch his documentaries. And there's and one part in the documentary, he swims back and forth and prays for people. And yeah, he had such deep care for children, and he took media so seriously that it should really serve children, and that it's a big responsibility. So I think about that responsibility all the time. And then people say, you know, he wasn't political, and he was political, and he, as you're showing now, he shared the pool with Officer Clemens during that time.
Play that clip. This was 1969. Mr. Rogers used his massive platform, as Ms. Rachel does today. He used it to advocate for desegregation at a time when many white Americans were fiercely against integration of schools, swimming pools, and public spaces. In this episode, Mr. Rogers invited an actor portraying an African-American policeman, Officer Clemens, to share his wading pool and towel.
Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Mr. Rogers, how are you?
Fine. Won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, come
along. I'll put some more water in here.
Oh. This is going to turn into a beautiful day. You like bare feet?
Well, yeah, as I grew older, I liked it more and more.
Good for you. You're pulling up your pants. I forgot to do that at first.
Oh, I don't want them to get wet.
Right.
Well, that was so enjoyable. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer.
Well, I know how busy you are. But sometimes just a minute like this will really make a difference.
Who would have thought that this was so revolutionary? And for people who are listening on the radio or just audio, there is Mr. Rogers, there is Officer Clemens, black and white feet in the wading pool, and then Mr. Rogers shares that towel for Officer Clemens to dry his feet. An incredible moment in television history. Who would have thought that would be so controversial?
Yes, and I've seen that they were throwing chemicals into the pools where black people were swimming. And I've also seen that a family was interviewed after seeing that, and that was the end of the conversation of whether pools should be segregated, because they said, if Mr. Rogers wants to share his pool, you know, we can share our pools. So I think that's really beautiful. And I will share, when Rahaf came to visit, that there I tried to rent a space to be with Rahaf, a private space, and some people didn't want Rahaf and her family to come to the space, and we were denied. And so it made me think about just how horrible that is to say, because of who you are and where you come from, you're not welcome. And I have so many Palestinian friends now, and they're just amazing people, and it's just awful that there's dehumanization, which I've seen, and it's just so painful. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tariq if you could talk about the work of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund and how people who want to support the children of Gaza can get involved.
Yeah, thank you for that question. The Palestine Children's Relief Fund has been an ongoing organization, a trusted organization, a transparent organization for the last 30 plus years. It's older than I am. It serves multitude of functionalities. It's obviously, you know about our Treatment Abroad program, which is the one that I led that evacuates children like Rahaf. We've evacuated thousands of children in the last 30 years. We also have a medical missions program where we bring physicians from the United States to treat children in Palestine, in Jordan, and the Levant area. We have infrastructural program where our mission is to build the infrastructure and the medical complexes within Gaza and Palestine and the Levant area so that we don't need to bring children all the way here to receive medical treatment. And we have now been distributing aid, something that we have been doing as part of the Gaza Urgent Relief Project. We've been on the ground for the last 2 years, nonstop. Not a single day have we not been distributing aid. We've spent over $45 million since October 7th in distributing aid, like baby formula milk to children such as Aya, and many others that don't get their story highlighted. And in terms of how to help people, how to help the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, you can volunteer, you can donate on our website, and you can just speak about what's happening. And I want to touch on this very importantly, because I know Rachel's probably won't say this, but Rachel has been, I would say, one of the most significant, if not the most significant, voices for Palestinian human rights. Her advocacy has touched the hearts of people that never would have ever heard about Gaza or the Palestinian children. And that's why her voice is so vital and been so important. And I remember prior to reaching out to her, I was really sad at how everything was conveyed. And I felt like it was hopeless. And when Rachel began to speak out, I saw a tide shift like no other. I mean, to the point where I'm a medical student here, and I remember going to my medical class and some of the surgeries, and the nurses and the surgeons and some of the just medical students would say, oh, you know, I just saw this poor child talking about Rahaf. And this is just so sad about what's happening over there, all because Miss Rachel shared the post and spoke about it, because she touches a crowd of people that never once knew about these Palestinian children and everything that they're going through.
Can I please give Tariq some love back? Tariq, you're become such a dear friend, and Tariq is one of the helpers that Mr. Rogers was talking about, and I'll text Tariq a baby, and he's a full-time medical student, and he'll text back right away, and he'll find the child, and he's my hero, and he texts me pictures of him and his cats, which I enjoy, and you've become such a dear friend, and Tariq's actually going to be on our show with Rahaf, I talk about how he's my friend, and he talks about how he's always wanted to be a doctor, and because he wants to help others, and Tariq's just amazing, and I love you, Tariq. Sorry.
We have to break, but we're going to come back to this conversation. Tariq Haylott is with us, director of the Treatment Abroad Program for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. And for those children who are listening, you don't need me to say that Ms. Rachel is on with us because you recognize her. But yes, we're joined by Rachel Griffin Accorso, a.k.a. Ms. Rachel. I also want to ask, when we come back, the two of you, about children in the rubble in Gaza watching Ms. Rachel, and also what it was like to have Rahaf be in the studio for her as you were dancing and sleeping together, and how she did that. Was she actually nervous as she stood there and danced on her two prosthetics? This is Democracy Now! Back in a minute.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. One day.
Roger Waters, yep, Pink Floyd, performing We Shall Overcome, accompanied by a young Alexander Rowatin on cello in our Democracy Now! Studio years ago. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York. Juan Gonzalez is in Chicago. We're continuing our conversation with Ms. Rachel, the children's entertainer and educator who's become a worldwide sensation over the past 6 years. In March, Ms. Rachel posted a video of two children watching one of her videos. That's not unusual at all, most places in the world. But this was watching one of her videos in the rubble of Gaza. The caption read, "My friends Celine and Celia, in what used to be their home in Gaza, they deserve to live in a warm, safe home again." Ms. Rachel is still with us, along with Tariq Haylott, medical student and director of the Treatment Abroad Program for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Talk about that video, Ms. Rachel.
Oh, Celine and Zila are so precious. I've gotten to know many families, and I just wish that our leaders got to know these families and sat with them as well. Seeing them smile and feel a little bit of joy in the midst of unimaginable suffering, it's such an honor to be their friend. And it's just unbelievable.
And Tariq, before the break, you were talking, I mean, you are Palestinian. Talk about her effect in Gaza. Talk more about that, what it means for kids to be sitting in the rubble and watching video of Ms. Rachel.
I think it's the fact that they feel seen more than anything. I mean, I think this is, you know, you were talking about one of the revolutionary moments. I think this episode will be one of those revolutionary moments, because Rahaf's mother would tell me all the time, never in my wildest dream did I ever imagine that that Rahaf is going to be on an episode with Miss Rachel. I mean, you have to understand that they have lived in a blockade for God knows how long now. Never did they ever imagine to come to the United States, let alone to be on an episode with their hero, right? So I think that is probably one of the most important thing, is for the first time ever, these children truly feel seen on a large scale. And that is what Ms. Rachel's platform is providing for these children.
And Rachel, you posted a quote from James Baldwin on social media that said, quote, "The children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. And I'm beginning to suspect that whoever is incapable of recognizing this may be incapable of morality." Do you sometimes lose hope that our leaders in the West are incapable of morality?
You know, I do have moments where I lose hope, to be honest, but it's really what brings me back to hope is another beautiful quote, and that one I hold dear all the time. I can't remember who it's by, but it says that we have to hold on to hope for the children in these situations, and we have to keep speaking out, and we have to hold on to hope, because we have everything right now and they have nothing. So it's our responsibility.
Ms. Rachel, can you talk about how other celebrities have responded? Start there. You have said that you don't want to work with people who don't speak out on Gaza. And can you talk about people changing, if you feel that people are changing and more willing?
I do think things are changing. And I think that it's really important for celebrities and leaders to know that you can handle some criticism for saving human lives, and that nothing is more precious than their lives. And the criticism, I think that there's a narrative that there's so much criticism and not support, but there's so much support. I have had so many people come up to me from all walks of life and start crying about these kids. And I think leaders think, oh, you're not connected to Palestinian people and Gaza. And it's what's true is we are connected to them, and you're not connected to us. You're not hearing us, that we want to feed children, and we want children to have education, and we know it's just the right thing to do to help children, but it also serves everyone, and it serves our children. We know that because of research, that when you take care of children and they have education, they're going to become happier, healthier adults in societies. And so I just think it's so important that we take care of the world's children. And I think it's such a huge failing of us adults that we're not.
Talk about, I mean, you're often doing social media, for example, on the children of Sudan. We just did in our headlines the effect on children, the horror there. And then also just how you got your start. Now, who is Miss Rachel?
Oh, my heart breaks every day for Sudan. And I actually, one of my first things I ever did was work teaching music with Sudanese and Somali refugee children in Maine. And they actually inspired me to become a music teacher. And I did some work with kids with disabilities, and I worked at daycares, and I worked at schools. And so for 20 years, working with so many different kids, and kids give us so much. I mean, I went in, I'm going to help kids, and they transform you. Service to others transforms you, and it brings you lasting joy. And it's really what matters. And so I just love kids, and I see them all as equal and wonderful. And I just wish everyone did. And I hope things change soon.
And talk about how you got your start.
I started at a preschool for kids with disabilities, and then I worked with with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club, and then do you mean the start of the show or the start of
how you got your start in just doing the show from a couple people watching to over a billion?
Well, I was inspired by my amazing little boy, who's him and my little baby Susie are my world, and I would stay up till 2 a.m. learning about speech to try and help my little guy with a severe speech delay. And I think, as we've talked about in this program today, that as a mom, when you see your child struggling, you'll do anything. Go moms. So I learned so much about development and speech and milestones. And then I was looking for a program for him, and that I couldn't find. So my husband and he has a very extensive Broadway background in composing, and we joined together to create something that would meet some of the needs that we weren't seeing met.
And Tarek, I wanted to ask you whether you feel that after this continued genocide by the Israelis in Gaza, that you feel that we're reaching a turning point, especially after that massive protest, hundreds of thousands of people in Australia in the pouring rain, and now one country after another, even in the West, beginning to recognize the Palestinian state and demand the end to the genocide. Do you feel that we're finally reaching a turning point in this conflict?
I do. And I say that with a lot of reflection on the past, because one of the biggest missions that we've had at PCRF and with the Treatment Abroad program was that we didn't just want to evacuate children to the United States. We wanted to globalize it, and we wanted to open up new pathways. And we wanted to do it in a humanitarian way. And so we said that our mission was to try to convince these governments to open up their borders to receive children to receive medical care in those countries. And countries such as Britain, Australia, Canada, we were able to convince to open up their borders to take in the first few children from Gaza. And I'm so thankful, because now it's opened up these pathways for other organizations to also evacuate children. I just saw that another child was just recently evacuated to Britain. But yes, I do feel like the tide is shifting. I think Rachel has been a really, really big part of that. And I genuinely mean this, because the narrative is beginning to change. New people are beginning to hear about what's happening. More voices are starting to speak on the subject. More celebrities are starting to see that joining this cause is not going to be detrimental to your reputation, but in fact, not speaking up on what's happening is what's most likely going to be detrimental on your reputation in the future, and how our children and grandchildren see these celebrities. So yes, in short.
We have 30 seconds. Ms. Rachel, your final thoughts. You can share them with children around the world, with their parents, with humanity.
Well, quickly, I want to say that I'm so relieved that people are starting to talk about the starvation of this population. And I just want to honor the 18,000 children that have been killed, because it should have been so much. It should have been like these children mattered, and they're not just numbers. They're 18,000 precious children, and they were everyone's universe, as a Jewish text says. So they were somebody's whole world and somebody's whole universe. And I just want to say to the kids, hi, I'm so proud of you. You have great ideas and a brilliant mind and a wonderful heart, and you're so kind, and you're welcome, and I adore you.
Rachel Griffin Accurso, known as Ms. Rachel to millions of children around the world who have watched her videos and listened to her songs. The Washington Post calls her the Mr. Rogers of her era. She has 16 million subscribers, more than 10 billion views, one of the most popular people on Netflix, and Tarek Hailat of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Thank you so much.
Hi there, this is Jan Arden, and if you're listening to something fabulous, well, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University Radio, streaming on the internet at cjsf.ca.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.